We're going to start off just with a small presentation by Jesse concerning a project that he's taken on this summer. And it kind of fits into James 2:14 as well. And this is actually, we had a last leadership meeting. We basically approved this project, which is going to take place at Bible Fellowship. We see there's a great opportunity for outreach, and as Jesse presents it, he'll explain basically what he's going to be doing. So,
thank you, Wally, for giving me this opportunity to come talk to you guys, and I'll just kind of give a real quick background on it. So the plan is this summer, July 19th, is to break the world record for the longest continuous air hockey marathon. Now, this started way back, maybe a year and a half ago, while he was going through this study by Max Lucado called Made to Make a Difference, and it was based on his book, Outlive Your Life. And it was kind of a challenge to youth that we're not just supposed to sit around and think about, wow, it would be great if we did this, and it would be great if someone did this, but that it's our job to actually get those ideas and do them. And so we had some ideas, and one of them I just kind of came up with was, what if we use a world record to raise money for like an established charity such as World Vision. And so it kind of went from there, and we looked into it. I Googled it, got on Guinness, and applied, and it's approved now that we're going to be breaking this world record. And World Vision has kind of partnered with us to send all the funds towards the Mansfield Drop-In Center. And some of the statistics, and I guess it's going to be outlined in this video, so I won't talk too much about it. But basically, thousands and thousands of children work in this city. It's Perwadai, and their job is mainly to collect scrap metal. They go through garbage. Some of them start as young as 3 years old, and they work 6 days a week, some 7 days a week. And the streets are dangerous. There's drug dealers and abuse, and it's really a tragedy. And I feel it's our calling and our job to reach out to these people. And as it says in James chapter 2, pure religion, is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I feel like a project like this is reaching out to those people, the fatherless, the widows, and the weak who can't help themselves. And not only is it of great help to them, this youth center, but it's also an outreach to those in Timmins, the people who don't know Christ, to see a church, community of Christians acting and serving God in this way. So I'll just play this video now and see.
So this project's been ongoing. Jesse has basically taken it on himself, which is incredible when you think about the size of it. His prayers is that he'll be able to raise $10,000. And donations are coming in already. And as youth leaders, we're pretty proud of Jesse. It's also a great segue into James 2:14 to 26. Let's just open a prayer. Father God, we just do thank you for the opportunity this for us to be able to freely worship here in this chapel. Lord, you see what's going on around the world, like we heard in Laos and in other countries, where worshiping is a dangerous thing, Father. Lord, the majority of Christians in this world suffer. Father, as we listen to the lesson today, I pray that you would just put your words into my mouth. I pray, Father, that you would just open our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but which of you here still feels the same passion for God that you felt the day of your salvation? Which of you had this incredible passion for God, but then one morning you woke up and you found that you lost it? How many of you are still looking for the abundant life that God promised you, but can't find it? You know that you're missing something, but you don't know what it is. You go to church every Sunday. You belong to small group activities. You go to Bible study. But you still feel that something's missing. Honestly, I think some of you probably have that feeling, and I know there's times I've had that feeling as well. And you just wonder, what is it? What is it I'm missing? Perhaps today's scripture verses will help you find what that is missing in your Christian life. Let's just start off by reading the verses. Starting James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. However, even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from the works is dead. James 2:14 for many people is very confusing, as it seems to, and it has been used to promote false doctrine. If one reads it from the surface without examining the scripture, one could conclude that we can be saved by works. This is definitely not what James is saying. It's not what he's saying. Salvation is free. It is undeserved. And we definitely cannot pay for it through good works. Jesus paid it all. In these passages, James is trying to explain to us how we should live if we are to take our faith seriously. This living includes doing God's will for our lives. That is to promote the kingdom here on earth. Did you know that only 1% of the New Testament talks about salvation. The remaining 99% emphasizes how we should live once we have been saved. Did you know that there are 2,000 verses of Scripture in the Bible that talk about God's heart for the poor and the church's responsibility to becoming socially engaged? God is compassionate about the poor, the sick, the hungry, the orphans, the widows, and the lost souls. Matthew 9, verse 36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." In the same way, those children in Pakistan, Jesse talking about, God has compassion for them. But God works through us. Jesus' first action when he started his ministry was to read about God's calling for social action. It's both evangelism and works. And these two words go together. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." God's plan for the world includes us. And this is what works is all about. We are, with God's help, to get involved and to help change the lives of those who need to see Christ through us. That is where our faith becomes visible. If we do good works in the name of Jesus Christ, then people will see Christ through us. This is very important. I saw this story about a chaplain. In the last war, he walked up to a wounded soldier who was waiting to be treated. And the chaplain asked him, "Would you like for me to read you from the Bible?" The soldier's angry response was, "No." The chaplain says, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" "I'm thirsty," said the soldier. And the chaplain gave him a drink from his canteen. "Anything else?" said the chaplain. "I'm cold," responded the soldier. And the chaplain gave the soldier his overcoat. "Anything else?" said the chaplain. "My head is uncomfortable," responded the soldier. The chaplain gave his hat to be used to support the soldier's head. And the chaplain said, "Is there anything else?" The soldier looked at him with tears in his eyes and said, "I think now I'd like you for me to read from your Bible." I also remember a story that a former pastor told me about a parishioner in Newfoundland outpost whose house caught fire. And I'm going to repeat what Mr. D said breaking bread this morning, that a lot of you have heard this story, but leftovers that are warmed up are still good. This pastor in the small outport in Newfoundland, this fellow's, one of his parishioners, his house caught fire. And if you know anything about Newfoundland, all the wooden houses and probably lack of proper fire safety in those communities, once a house catches fire, it's toast. So the whole community comes down and stands around his house as it's burning to the ground. And pastor just looks at the fellow that owns the house, and he's just sitting there, or standing there, and he's just looking, and just poker face. So the pastor went up and stood next to him. He had no idea what to say. Yeah. What do you say to somebody whose house is burning? Anyways, as the fire sort of got to the point where it was just burning embers in the basement, everybody left. The pastor just felt this urge that he still needed to stay there. And he stood next to the man for hours until the fellow said, "I have to go." Next day, this man came up to the pastor and said to him, "Thank you." Again, works of kindness went a long way, providing comfort to this devastated man. These works do not save us, but they show the love of Christ. God's plan for the world includes us. As Christians working through Him to get involved and change the lives of those who need to know Him. This is done through works and our being involved in carrying out social justice. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel totally lost when I try to understand what my role really is in carrying out of social justice. And I even get discouraged when what I do doesn't seem to make a difference to those who I'm trying to minister to. And believe me, I speak for Joe, I speak for Nathan, I speak for a lot of people in youth ministry. This is quite often how we feel. Todd Phillips best described this by comparing our Christian actions to a puzzle. He asked us, "What is the most important piece of the puzzle? Are they the corner pieces?" Yeah, that's a good answer. That's usually where I start. Are they the outside pieces? Again, I like to do that. Get the frame up. Are they the centerpieces? Or do you like doing the sky first? The answer is that the most important part of the puzzle is the box top. Because without the box top, you're never going to get the puzzle done. I challenge you. The 1,000-piece puzzle to try to get it done if you don't have the picture. The same is with God's plan. We as humans only see a part of the total plan. Quite often we see a very, very small part of what God's plan is. But God has a plan. God sees the big picture and how all the pieces fit into it. In time, we also will see the results of our actions, but may not be here on earth. The important part is that we fulfill what God wants us to do. This morning, before I came, I went on Facebook, it's just one of my weaknesses. And the young lad I've been talking to for the last few weeks, he's from Timmins. He's been over at our house a few times, facing giants. His life was not the best in the world, but he's a good kid. But he went to Northland Bible Camp. And stuff at Northland sunk into him because a couple weeks ago, he instant messages me and he says, "You know, Wally," he says, "I've really started reading the Bible. And I got a lot of questions." And unfortunately, when he first called, I mean, I was eating my lunch at work and I was sort of limited to half an hour sitting there talking to him. But he kept coming back to me and asking me questions. And kind of interesting questions. Like, he said, "You know, I get the feeling that our God is this humongous, awesome character who put people on earth for his own pleasure. I said, yeah, that's right. You know, but he was trying to answer the questions by himself, and I said, you know, you need to get to a young church. He's in Southern Ontario, so there's a lot of churches with young congregations. I said, you've got to get to a church, a Bible-believing church, with a young congregation that you can take part in Bible study and groups. So this morning, he says, you know, Wally, I says, I was thinking about that, and I think you're right. But the thing that's interested me is that I try to think about the number of people that have been working with this young individual, bringing little pieces into the puzzle. Yeah. And the thing about Northland, it's a big community, because, you know, you look at it, you know, there's people in Timmins, there's people in Matheson, there's people in Sudbury, there's even people in London that had an effect on his life. And you see all these pieces that just come together. Yeah. God's got the box top. Here's how Jesus best describes the consequences of the works that we do. And I just love these verses. Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger, and welcome you, or naked, and clothe you? When did we see you sick, or in prison, and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did to the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. This passage further goes on to explain what happens to us if we do not have compassion for those in need. We may not lose our salvation, but we definitely will be losing our reward in heaven. Yeah. It's something I've just got in my mind, you know, and after church, somebody may want to correct me on this, but I just get the feeling that salvation works. Salvation is something that once you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, is permanent. But it's what you do with that salvation that indicates how God will react to us. Compassion. What does the word mean? Dictionary says it's a deep awareness of the suffering of others combined with a desire to relieve the suffering. It's a deep awareness of the suffering of others. It's the first part. The important part is it's combined with a desire to relieve the suffering. And this is something that Jesse, through working through World Vision, is trying to do in a small way, is relieve the suffering of young girls in Pakistan, this one village. Good works is not just something that Christians do. Many non-Christians, some very famous, spend a lot of time and money trying to help the poor in the world. Here's a few of them. You may laugh. But, you know, you look at Angela Jolie, Oprah, Bill Gates, Bono, Brad Pitt. They all spend a lot of time and money trying to help people in the third world. Bill Gates has given most of his fortune to Africa. And he's talked to other people like William Buffett to do the same. Bono. He's the one a couple of years ago when G20 got together, told Canada, you know, at that particular time, Canada was the only country in the G20 that wasn't running on a deficit. It's changed since then. He said, if you're going to come to this conference, says, don't come unless you're going to come and do something. Yeah. But there's lots of people that do good works. You know? The problem is that their solutions to the problems are quite often short-term. Works needs to be associated with faith. A fellow I really admired about 12 years ago, he came to Ontario Team Leadership North, the first one that I organized out of Camp Bickle. His name is Serge Leclerc. Serge Leclerc has been in trouble with the law ever since he was about 12 years old. He was in his book he described himself, I am the product of a 13-year-old Cree woman being raped. That's how he describes himself. But his mother tried hard to raise him and brought him to Toronto, which was a mistake because things went downhill. And his life, he spent most of his life up to the age, I think it was about 30, in jail. He was a millionaire 3 times. He brought meth to Ontario. First meth lab in Ontario he brought to Ontario. But one day in jail, there was a young person in the cell next to him that hung himself. He was a drug addict. And Serge just started crying. He says, I couldn't stop crying. Because I knew I was responsible. Well, since then, Serge completed his jail term, but he's got an education. He got his bachelor's in sociology. And when he left, the Ontario government were impressed with him. And he started running a youth detention center down in Font Hill. But since then, he was called to the province of Saskatchewan. They asked him, said, could you come over here and do something? Because Saskatchewan had a lot of youth problem, but they had very little resources, and they wanted him to start something. He said, sure, I'll come and start something. But he says, I'll start up a secular youth center for you. But I'm telling you right now, I am going to start a Christian one as well. Because I know that the Christian Youth Center has a 70% success rate. And secular ones don't have it. Our message gives a reason for the good works that we do. And the good works that we do gives validity to the gospel. There's profound synergy between preaching and sharing the gospel and the act of good works that God has prepared in advance for us. We are part of God's, what Todd Phillips calls, Plan A. God doesn't have Plan B. He doesn't need Plan B. He's God. Why would God have a Plan B? We do. C, D, E. And, you know, Bible Fellowship Assembly, a lot of stuff goes on. You know, and I feel good about this because, you know, you look at all the different ministries that take place here and the places that we support. You know, Harmony House, which is 100% supported by this chapel. Visitations, as many people that visit hospitals, seniors' homes. Dave and Becky, the ministry they've done in Shillington, which is just awesome. and planning a church there. Timmins Trinity Christian School, the support we've given to them. You know, Good Samaritan Inn. The youth center. So many things. Northland Bible Camp. Yeah. And there's many, many more things that this people, this chapel support. Our youth, the same way. A lot of things that they get involved with. You know, we look at the Love Movement where we visit seniors, you know, just do kind things over at the mall. Our mission trip, looking at basically what Jesse's doing. You know, these all make a difference. James speaks of two Old Testament characters that we are familiar with, Abraham and Rahab. Abraham was justified by his faith in a very personal God. Abraham was very close to God and did not hold back anything from him, even the son. That's how deep his faith was. In the same way, God did not hold back anything from us to show his love for us, even the son. Rahab, in the same way, though she was a sinner, the fact is, she believed. And you know, she risked her life in order to save Joshua's men. Her faith, together with her deeds, saved her and her family from death. And Joshua sees the city. So what about you? Do you feel that something is missing in your spiritual walk with Christ? Maybe it is an indication that you need to get more active in your faith. If we are saved, we will not lose that salvation. It's ours. It's a free gift from simply acknowledging Jesus as our Lord and Savior. However, there's more to it than simply being saved. Remember, only 1% of the New Testament talks about salvation. The rest talks about how we are to live. We need to take this seriously and do something about it. Here are some ways that we can serve the Lord. Pray. First thing we did, when we had our meeting here, start up prayer. You know, the brothers and sisters got together once a day, once a week. This is not the only time we pray. We pray all the time. This is just a cool, neat way that we get together and we just pray as a team. It's powerful. Second thing we need to do this is hide God's word in our hearts. We need to understand the word of God. It's very important. We need to be able to apply it biblically in our lives. Without studying God's word, it's very difficult for us to evangelize. We need to create awareness, not just within our own circle, but in our schools, at work, golf courses, basketball courts, everywhere. We're called to bring people to the knowledge of God. We've got to create awareness. We have to be bold. We need to financially support this church and credible Christian organizations. You know, and because, you know, we're called to give, not just our money, but also our talents and our treasures and our time. We're called to get directly involved. You know, some people are very shy to do this. Many times we're praying for the person who lives next door. And what is God saying to us if we're listening? Okay. You're the person that I'm asking to go and deal with that person next door. Yeah. It takes boldness. It takes courage. We need to do this. Here's a very easy way. Sponsor a child. It's so easy. You know, you remember that story about the man is walking down the beach after a storm and he's tossing starfish back into the ocean. And a fellow comes up to him and says, "Why are you doing that?" He says, "You know, there's thousands of starfish here." He says, "You're not going to be able to throw them all back in." He picks up the starfish and he throws it in. He says, "Well, made a difference to that one." Yeah? It's the same thing as sponsoring a child. Maybe one child. But, you know, if millions of Christians sponsored children, millions of children would live better lives. It's such an easy way of doing it. It's not just the children, but their villages as well. You know, Compassion Canada, World Vision, they don't just sponsor the child. They support the village as well. And finally, evangelize. We're all called to evangelize. Don't say, "I don't have a gift of evangelism," because you all have the gift of evangelism. Don't do it on your own, though. If you try to evangelize on your own, it's not going to work. You need to let God do it for you. You have to depend on God to say, put the words in your mouth when you talk to these people, to discern what you should be doing. And you should be doing it with someone else as well. Anyway, I'd like to just close with a hymn. Mrs. D, if you would come back up the piano. 477, "Freely, Freely." And after that, I asked Joe if he would come up and close in prayer. 477.
It was a very challenging message, wasn't it? A message that we all need to take a look at ourselves individually and really ask ourselves, are we really acting on our faith? Are we really acting on our faith? Or is our faith, do we have good works in our faith? Because that's the challenge for each and every one of us, the challenge that we need to look at our own lives. In the word, one said, "Faith without works is dead." And we know that we have faith, it's by our works. The Walt brought up another interesting point, and he said, we don't have to do it alone. And that's the whole thing. So often we feel that we do have to do it alone. But just remember, God is with us. And if He is with us, who can be against us? Let's just follow the word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Around us, neighborhood, whether our workplace, whether in schools, or even with our own family, Lord. To just show Your love to this community around us and show acts of love. Father, help us to be a people, Lord, that will act on our faith, that our works, Lord, will show our faith, a faith and a loving, caring God. Father, we commit Jesse to You, Lord, in His endeavor, Father, to do this with You called upon Him, Heavenly Father. And Lord, as Jesse has done His part in preparation for this, Lord, we have a responsibility too in supporting Jesse in whatever way You call us to support, Lord. So we just commit this world-breaking record, Lord, of the air hockey challenge, Lord. But even more so, Lord, the reason why Jesse's doing it, He's not doing it to break the world record. He's doing it to provide financial aid to this youth dropping center in Pakistan. That's his goal for the year. So Lord, we pray that we would search ourselves and say, how can we support Jesse in this way? In his name we pray. Amen.